You got your Bible tonight. I'm going to be reading in several places, but I'm just glad to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I'm glad to be back home. Obviously, I missed being here last Sunday. I do again appreciate Brother Larry. Appreciate the church. Appreciate what God's doing in the church. You know, I kind of made the comment a couple of times and in jest, okay, and it was not serious, that I didn't want the Lord to come back while I was in California because that would be the last place he would visit. Now, I said that jokingly, but the whole time I was out there, I'm going to be honest with you, God reminded me that I said it. He's constantly speaking to me, and that's what I have to talk about tonight. And I want to talk about searching for God. I want to talk about being searched by God. And I want to talk about searching yourself. Because, you know, I made that comment, and I'll be honest with you, I don't like going to California. I have to go once a year. First time I went, you know, it was that long flight, and I was one of the last to get invited, and I had a window seat, and I'm claustrophobic. And it was, I honestly knew I had a window seat. My wife doesn't understand. It was her first time to fly last week. She was mad because she didn't have a window seat. She sat in the middle. I had to sit in the aisle so I can stand up, you know. But it was a different experience for her. Because she went, it was better for me. But I don't like going out there. Wouldn't want to live out there. You know, obviously what we need to do and what we should be willing to do is whatever God has for us. And that ought to be the plan of our lives. And I guess I could say more than ever, that's the plan of my life. And I was talking to some of the brethren about this today. It's because we realize that we don't have a whole lot of time left. And every day is a gift from God. And I made this comment to my wife today. I said, you know, looking at our lives, and we've been married 27 years, is that right? 28, almost 28. She's shaking her finger at me. Close. He forgot a song.
I'm not perfect.
We're not. I said I'm not perfect this morning. But the truth is, I begin to look back on my life and I begin to think about it. And I think, folks, me and my wife have been in church all our lives. But I think, what more could I do? What more could I have done? See, I got one daughter that's already grown and out of the house. And I look back on it, and I think, what could I have done different? I got two boys that are coming up, and I made a comment this morning, seriously, that they act better than I did at their age. And they don't give me the trouble in some ways that I gave my parents. And I thank God for that. But I look at it now, and I thank God, what more can I do for the time that I have? Because we don't know how much time we're going to have. You know, we went over to the hospital today, and we saw Miss Barnes. I'd like for you to pray for her. You know, we gathered around the bed and we prayed for her, and she had it's like a stroke, but it's a blood clot in a sinus cavity that basically is the same way, and her speech has not recovered, but she was able to get enough words out that she wanted us to have prayer. And the way she squeezed our hand and the way she hugged our neck, it'd be just like you if you were laying there not knowing what the outcome's going to be. She's scared, and we need to pray for her. But we don't ever know when that could be us. You know, so we ought to take advantage of every day that we have and honor God. Now, I'm telling you, God gave me this message here really throughout the entire week. Because as I was on that plane flying out there, I was dreading it. And I'll be honest with you, I was looking for that flight home as we were taking off. And I got out there and God began to reveal himself to me and he began to speak to me. And I'm going to give you quite a few verses of scripture tonight. The first one I want to read is in John chapter 5. In verse number 39, and then we're going to go over to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. While I was out there, I went out and I sat down on the balcony and I read through the entire first couple of chapters of Genesis. Because God began to show me some things while I was out there about who he was and where he is. And he wants me to remind you of them tonight. But in John chapter 5 and verse number 39, the Bible says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Now, he spoke this to a people that thought they were religious and they thought they understood the scriptures, but they missed all the pictures. You see, throughout the Old Testament, the entire Old Testament, there is picture after picture of Christ. The entire book of Ruth is a picture of Christ and his relationship with the church. And maybe, the Lord willing, soon we can go through that book. I just love to teach and preach out of that book. But there are so many pictures, like the pictures where Abraham took Isaac upon the mountain. The pictures of Isaac and Rebekah. The covenant with Abraham. So many times God began to reveal himself to his people, but the people missed it. They missed what God was saying and what God was trying to show them time after time after time. You know, as we were going down the road and we got there, you know, in California, and God began to speak to my heart, and I opened up the scripture and I began to read, and I want to read to you in the first chapter of the book of Genesis. And God showed me some things. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." And I want you to flip over and go down to the 20th verse. And as I sat there and I was looking out on the water, and for the first time I really saw some things. I mean, obviously being from the East Coast, and you know, the Gulf of Mexico is a whole lot different than the Pacific Ocean. And I was looking out and I looked at the rocks and I saw something on the rocks, and I thought it was a grizzly bear. It was a giant seal. This thing probably weighed 600 pounds. And it was laying out there, and I said, "Look at that." They'd shoot up out of the water and they'd land on their belly, you know, whoo! And they'd wiggle up to where they're going. And I looked, and here would come the mama, and here come the baby. And a lady began to tell us about how long they had started coming to this place, to these rocks. And she said, "Every day they come back." And as I sat there, this is what I read in the 20th verse. "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day." And you know, everywhere I went, it was like God was speaking to me. Because this is probably the seventh or eighth time I've been out there, but I'd never seen a seal before. And I'd never seen a gray whale. But we were standing there on the beach, and we saw gray whales come up and breach and blow and throw their flippers up. We saw Pacific white-sided dolphins, which were really, they said, generally didn't come this far south, but we were out on a boat and we saw those. And while we were out there looking at them, it's like, I almost want to say, "God, I didn't mean it. When I said, I don't want to be in California when the Lord comes back." But you know, the truth is, the Bible says, it's going to be like lightning. Every eye is going to see him. But as I was there, and God said, do you see me in the whales? He said, "Do you see me in the sea lions and in the seals?" And we were sitting there having lunch one day, and them seagulls come, and I made some friends because I had sweet potato French fries, and I kept pinching them and flipping them to them. They would laugh after a little bit. And he said, "Do you see me in the birds?" And we got on this boat and we went out on the ocean and we were going to see the animals and, you know, the whales. And we probably saw 8 different sightings of whales and sea lions everywhere on the rocks and birds and seagulls. And the whole time God's screaming, "Do you see me? Do you see me? Do you see that I'm here? Do you see my creation?" And as we were going, the guy who was actually our guide, he began to tell us a story about the dolphins. And he told us about how the dolphins were specially designed with an internal thermometer to keep certain parts of their body cooler than other parts of their body. And he said, if their bodies were not created in this way, and he said, created. And here I am listening to God saying, do you hear me? And he said, if their bodies were not created in this way, they could not reproduce. And there would be no more dolphins. And you know, he was in a mixed crowd, but he didn't, and I was listening close. And he didn't say, it's been this way for millions and millions of years. You know what he said? He said, it's been this way since, and he paused, and he said, the beginning. And what God began to show me is he's got Christians in California. And we were now, and I knew this, and I'm thinking, God, I'm just kidding, God. But we went into a restaurant, we finally found a place that served cheeseburgers. The last night, my wife was so excited. We went in to get cheeseburgers and French fries, and we're sitting in there in the booth right over here beside us. There's a lady that's got three or four little kids. And we can hear what she's saying to them. And she began to tell them about where Jesus fasted for 40 days. And she, because her one of her children asked her, Mama, are you going to have a milkshake? She said, no, I'm not going to have any sweets this week. And I was just listening. And they said, why not? She said, well, I'm fasting from sweets this week. And I listened to what she was saying. And they asked her why. And she told them the story of where Jesus fasted. And where he prayed for us. And how that, you know, he was tempted of the devil. And sometimes she fasts just so she can be reminded of what Jesus did for us. And you know what God said? He said, do you hear me? Because everywhere you go, he's there. Let's go over to Psalms 139. And I want to read some scripture to you. Psalms 139 and verse number 1. But he is everywhere. And he began to remind me as I begin to study and think about this, that he is everywhere. In Psalms 139 and verse 1, it says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me beside and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain to it. Here's a question. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Nowhere will I ever go that God is not there. Now, I made this comment, and I've said it, you know, to the Celebrate Recovery Group, and I've said it in church, and I've said it in Sunday school. A Christian is never, ever alone because God is with you. And I'll tell you something. In this world, there may be some dark places, but God is there. You know, sometimes when we see injustice and we wonder where God's at, the truth is God is there. God is there in the midst of the time of trouble. God is there in the midst of the persecution. God is everywhere, and he can be seen if you look for him. You know, you can see him in his creation. And in Jeremiah 29:13, he can be found of us. This is what that scripture says. It says, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. So if you want to find God, all you really have to do is open your eyes and look at creation. Now, I said this morning about pine trees and red clay. That was just a joke too, by the way. Now, what do I think heaven's going to have? I think it's going to have so much to satisfy you, you can't even comprehend it. I'll tell you, I believe that, okay? I do. I believe you're going to be so contented. You're not. People worry about, well, when I get to heaven, will this be there? Or will that be there? Or will I be happy? You're going to be happy. You're going to be contented because you were created for it. But we search for God here. But you know what I thought as I was there and I was looking around? Because we went into some places and I sat there, my wife and I was looking around at the people. And I thought, how many of these people see God? How many of them see God in the whales? How many of them see God in the seals? How many of them see God in the sunrise? But he was there. And he was screaming, "Don't forget me." But people weren't seeing him. Now see, I was looking for him, but he was speaking to me. You see, I was searching for God, but at the same time, God was searching me. You know, and what happens when God begins to search us, if we go down in this same chapter in Psalms 139, in the 23rd verse and the 24th verse, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You see, sometimes we say we want to be searched by God, or we make a comment, "I want to be close to God," or "I want to be right with God." But the truth is, when the Holy Spirit really comes into your heart, and he begins to reveal to you by his Holy Spirit who you are, I believe it's like when you read through the writing of Paul. The closer he got to God, the more he realized his imperfection in his human and fleshly state. And the more his desire and his longing was to be with the Lord and to be like the Lord. Because as we look at his creation and his greatness, when we really begin to look at ourselves, we find how inefficient we are without him. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 10, it says, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." You know, sometimes our problem is we look at ourselves and we see ourselves higher than we should. I'm not one that wants to beat people up, and it was mentioned this morning in Sunday school, and I appreciate it. Sometimes what we need to do is realize we're forgiven and tell the devil just to go away. And I want to do that, but I'm also one of those, I'm telling you, as I look back, I wonder, what could I have done different? What could I have done to lead more people to the Lord? What could I do to be a better daddy? What could I do to be a better husband? And I will say this, in the amount of time I've been married, don't know exactly, I'm going to find out how many days and keep a pocket calendar. But I realize how blessed that I have been to have a Christian wife. How blessed that I have been to have been raised in a Christian home. And how blessed that we are to be able to come together and worship in the house of the Lord where the Spirit of God moves freely. Where people can worship God and where people can come without being judged. And just let God move in their hearts and their lives. We realize how blessed we are. We ought to take those blessings and use them for the honor and glory of God. So when God does begin to search me and he examines me, here's what it does. It creates in me a desire, or it should, to be closer to God. If God begins to reveal something in me that's not exactly right with him, it ought to create in me a desire to be more like him. Psalms chapter number 26 in the first verse. This is a psalm of David where he cries unto the Lord and he says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me, and try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency, and so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all of thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. It's where he cries and he said, Lord, search me. And he wants God really to reveal to him exactly where he's at. You know, a lot of people really just aren't willing to allow God to do that. You know, they want a form of godliness, but they're really not interested in allowing the Holy Spirit to come in. As we read when we studied in the 23rd Psalm, where it said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And we talked about a process where the shepherd would actually take the sheep and he would take the rod and he would rake back the wool. And when a shepherd was purchasing a sheep, you know that you could take a sheep and you could cut that wool, and from the outside it would appear beautiful. It would show that it has perfect shape and perfect form and no blemish. And sometimes that's the way we appear on the outside. We're like a perfectly shaped and sheared sheep where the wool is cut in perfect form. But the shepherd would take the rod and he would rake back the wool and it would reveal the imperfections. It would show whether or not the sheep was really as healthy as it appeared from the outside. It would show blemishes and problems. And that's what the Word of God does to us. It comes and it examines us. And when it examines us, the purpose is to reveal to us where we are so we can get closer to God. Because that's the purpose. You see, when I was out there and God began to reveal all these things to me, and I began to see Him and His creation, and I began to hear the testimony of who He was, I have to tell you, it made me realize who I was. And it made me want to bow before my God. Now, the last thing I want to share with you tonight, we've searched for God. We're searched by God. But what about searching ourselves? You know, sometimes when we look inside ourselves or inside our hearts, and I want to do this, I want to look and I want to see myself as I am. In Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 40, it says, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us look at ourselves. Let me look at myself and see myself just as I am. You know, the song says, just as I am without one plea. You know, sometimes I guess people want to say, just as I am, look at great me. But who would I be without Jesus Christ? You know, where would I be without the grace of God? Where would I be without the mercy of God? In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 and verse number 6, I want to read two verses. And it talks about examining yourselves. It says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. It says, prove your own selves and know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Then it says, but I trust that ye shall know that ye are not reprobates. Now when I look at that scripture, here's the point. If I examine myself, I won't have to be examined of others. And I want to do that. It's kind of like humbling yourself so somebody else doesn't have to humble you. It's kind of like recognizing where you're at and dealing with it so that somebody else won't have to. Like I've told my son, he wants to drive so bad he counts the days. And I tell him, and I'm trying to teach him how to watch the speedometer. How to brake when he goes up to a stop sign, and I've never let him drive on the roads. the things that he needs to do to be able to drive on the road and keep a clean record. Because I've already told him, you get a ticket, you're off the road. But I've told him everything that he needs to do in order to be able to drive safely and to be able to drive correctly. And God's Word has given us everything that we need to do in order to be able to live a life that honors God. In order to be able to live the way that God wants us to live. But sometimes what we have to do is we have to look at ourselves. We have to examine ourselves. And you know what I've learned in trying to teach my children is I'm going to teach them a whole lot more about what I do more than what I say. And I want to tell you, since my boys are growing up, I've become a lot better driver. Because, you know, let's just be honest. You can't teach your kids not to do something that you're doing. I don't care what it is. You know, I grew up listening to preaching all of my life, but I don't remember the messages. I remember the men of God. I remember the lives. I remember the testimony and the witness. But I can't give you 3 points in a poem from any of them that I've ever heard. But I can remember the way they lived for God. When I look at this scripture, it says, examine yourselves. Know your own selves. How that Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Now here's the scary part of this. We're living in a nation today where the Bible talks about people having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And I heard a story of 2 missionaries that came to Russia, or came to the United States from Russia, and I may have shared this before, but I'll share it again for those that haven't heard it. But they came to the United States from Russia when Russia was not free, before the wall came down. And when they came over here, they said, God, why are you sending us to America? You see, they landed and they said, we found that there was a church here, and there's a church there, and there's a church there, and there's a church there. And they begin to question God, why God would send them to America. And they said, but we begin to realize and understand the scripture where it says, this is the people that draw nigh to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And what we need to do is examine ourselves, lest we don't become immune to the working and the moving and the Spirit of God. That's why when we read scripture where David prayed, Lord, search me, O God, and try me. Know my heart. See if there's anything in me that's not right, that we stay, very important, sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. That if I get out of God's will in any way, God can speak to me. And I want to be sensitive. I want to be sensitive so that God, all of my life, no matter how long I live, can work in my life and move me in the direction of being more and more and more like Him. Now, I've been walking in this way longer today than I was yesterday. Longer than last year. Some of you have been walking in the way longer than I have. But I want to tell you something. I've never seen anybody that's graduated. Because as long as we're in this life, in this flesh, we're going to be learning. And I want to tell you, I'm still learning. I'm learning who God is. And when God searches me, I'm learning who I am. And when I look at myself, I want to be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit that I can search myself, I can judge myself, and when I do, I can move in the right direction. In a direction that's pleasing to the Lord. Brother Keith, can we sing one verse of song tonight? Just want to sing a verse of song. Ask you to rise to your feet tonight. If God has spoke to you in any way, I want to tell you that God has spoke to me this week. And He spoke to me to give me a reassurance that He's God and that He's in control. And although, and you know, sometimes when I go back and I read through, and I was out there, and there's another message that God laid on my heart, and I begin to study it, and I begin to think about it. A lot of things going on today that if Jesus Christ does not stay His coming, that next year are going to be a memory. But I'll tell you something that's not going to be just a memory. That's the existence and the power of God. Because He doesn't change. If you're here tonight and God spoke to you in any way, we want to give you an opportunity to pray. And I'll say this about this church. These altars are always open. They're open when I'm speaking. They're open when we're singing. Because the whole purpose of my heart's desire is that people would grow closer to the Lord. And that we could get close enough to God ourselves that we could invite people in that don't know Him and introduce them to the Lord that we serve. So as we sing this song, if God spoke to you in any way and you'd like to come and pray, we want you to be at liberty to do that. That's why we took this rail down and extended this around. We extended it around over here so that people would have more room to pray. Amen.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. Some wicked way in me, cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine.